Good evening, everybody. 4th October 2024. I hope you're doing well. Hello. Well, hello. Good evening, good evening. FEMA is out of money. Yeah, isn't that wild, eh? Well, you know, I always said that violence achieves the opposite of its stated goals, and it's pretty much the same with that stuff as well. So, there you have it. Didn't you have an announcement for tonight's stream? Steph! Yes, I believe it's going to be a week Saturday. We're going to do a meetup. We're going to find a place in Mississauga. We're going to do a meetup. So keep posted. Keep posted. Federal Emergency Management, something or other, Association, FEMA. So yes, we're going to do a meetup. A week Saturday. We're going to meet up eyeball to eyeball. Greco-Roman wrestling, nipple trivia, body carving, and jello shots injected directly into the sinuses. That is going to be something and a half. Actually, I had a pretty good, interesting day today. Some people, someplace in the world were screening my documentary, Hong Kong Fight for Freedom, and I did sort of the Q&A. Afterwards for that, I'll see if I can get a copy of that and post it. That was very interesting, very enjoyable. I'm really, really glad to talk to all of this. All right, so let's get to your comments and questions and problems and issues. Somebody says, hi Steph, on the post you asked for feedback, I responded to a comment linking to you sometimes being off topic to the live stream title for a while. I find in live streams, you often talk about the same topics numerous times and it gets quite boring. So I end up watching, watching, e.g. Twitter, food, or music, and sometimes when listening, it can get boring, so I prefer to listen to call-in shows or solo shows. A fair feedback, I appreciate that. I think sometimes in live shows, you give some incredibly deep and thought-provoking speeches, but the waffle around it makes it hard to find and feels like a waste of time. That is a very, very fair and useful and valuable piece of feedback. I appreciate that. I will passive-aggressively do it even more tonight. No, I appreciate that. That's good feedback to stay on target. Oh, I'm doing it again. There you go. All right. So hit me with a why if you've heard about the Blue Zones. The Blue Zones. Hit me with a why if you've heard about the Blue Zones. I find this quite fascinating. So a scientist, this is from Mike, the low-carb dietitian on X, a scientist just won a Nobel Prize for proving that Blue Zones are fraudulent. The first red flag is Blue Zones Marketing LLC was founded in 2008. Yep, a marketing company. So the Blue Zones are areas where people just seem to live forever and ever. Amen. Yeah, that's right. So the Blue Zones are where people outlive even my tangents. And now that's a long time, he said, passive-aggressively pushing back against legitimate criticism. So yeah, the Blue Zones are where people live centenarians, right? They live 100 years or more. So one was Sardinia. Oh, lots of centenarians live in Sardinia. Except it's really not true. So what's happened is what? Why is it not true? Why is it not true that these Blue Zones are fantastically marketed and massive clusters of immense longevity? I don't know why people aren't more suspicious of this kind of stuff, but, you know. I mean, how could it just cluster? You know, how could it? In this particular area, people live a long time. It's amazing. And why don't you go and interview these people and find out what they're doing? Just interview them. So, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, sad but true. So, once you account for the fact, this is from this guy, the dietitian, once you account for the fact that most of them are in fact dead, but their family continued collecting their pensions anyway, this means Sardinia ranks just 36th to 44th for longevity. The same happened in Costa Rica and Greece. You hear all this thing about the Mediterranean diet. It's like, well, Greece, I don't know if they still do, but they used to smoke like chimneys, right? At one point, Greece was paying pensions to 9,000 centenarians. Ah, but upon audit, 72% of them had died long ago. About Okinawa, Dr. Saul Newman said, when they've measured Okinawa, it doesn't do any of the things they claim blue zones do. Not even close. It's comedically wrong. The claim that Okinawans eat a plant-based diet is false. In fact, they eat a lot of pork and waste no part of the animal. Other claims made by blue zones that Okinawans are religious and focus on their mental well-being are also false. Okinawa has the fourth highest suicide rate in Japan, and 93% of them are atheists. Everything is a lie. Even that. Yeah, everything is a lie. We are like the last bastion of truth on the planet. I swear by all that I and you hopefully combined find holy that I will constantly try and get you the truth without agenda. Yeah, debt to GDP is high, Greece and Japan. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's amazing. As long as you keep paying people who pretend to be alive, or you keep paying their relatives for people who pretend to be alive, turns out a lot of people pretend to be alive. It's incredible. It's amazing. It's a Christmas miracle. I thought that was just delightful. I believe nothing. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing whatsoever. What can I tell you? So, this woman, Ma Li Bo, posted, this was one of the biggest tweets yesterday, a 30-year-old man has no business dating a 20 to 23-year-old girl. It's honestly all shades of wrong. A 30-year-old man has no business dating a 20 to 23. Well, I guess when I was in my early 30s, I dated a woman who was 10 years younger. And? So what? Oh my gosh. Now you don't of course hear this about women, although there's some, I assume, extraordinarily creepy Nicole Kidman sex romp coming out. She plays a high-powered CEO, executive girl boss, but secretly she wants to be bossed and ordered and bullied around by her 21-year-old hot intern. Welcome to the hypocritical quicksand known as modern female sexuality. I am strong and empowered. Oh, did something not go my way? I am but a helpless victim. So, and also you don't ever hear about women who shouldn't be dating men who are older for resources. How dare a 35-year-old woman date a man who's 42 because he happens to be wealthier and is able to provide? How dare he? That is delightful. It's almost beyond delightful, don't you think? Longevity is like IQ, mostly genetic. Well, I do think that if you keep your, you don't see a lot of really old people who are overweight. Like most of the old people are pretty skinny, right? So, and there's some comedy that Harrison Ford is in. He's got that kind of gimpy, bow-legged, old guy penguin walk. And I'm always like, that's never going to be me. But I noticed that I was, you know, recently, especially after I injured my knee a couple of years ago, I'm running in that kind of wobbly, don't move your hips too much, old guy run. And so I kind of tried to break out of that and went back to sprinting, which I may pay for at some point, but it's worth it. At least for now. At least for now. Somebody says, I would feel uncomfortable dating a guy who was 9 years older than me. I am early 20s. I think guys 8 to 10 years older look significantly older, so it feels uncomfortable. Yeah. It's because if men complained about women liking rich dudes, people would tell them to shut up. Yeah. You know, I mean, this is the thing, right? I mean, how much sympathy do we have for women who don't have any sympathy for us? My answer is not really much of anything, if anything. So good luck, ladies. Good luck. Good luck with all that. You're only as old as the last woman you slept with, Dennis Hoff. Then he died at 72. No, seems like a convenient number of virgins. Dennis Hopper? It's Dennis Hopper. That sounds like something Dennis Hopper would play. God, wasn't he terrifying in Blue Velvet? Pabst Blue Ribbon. Fuck that shit. Heineken. Fuck that shit. Pabst Blue Ribbon. I can't remember, but he was a really terrifying guy. in Blue Velvet. I dated way older in my early 20s. Yeah. Oh, that's you, Paula. Yeah. I mean, some people do. Absolutely. Some people do. I don't know. Just find someone you like. Now, in general, though, this is something I've noticed. I could be wrong. It's just something I've noticed. Outoftheargument.com. Don't forget. It's a great book. Just found that here. So, tell me if you find this to be the case. When men get older, if they've made mistakes, they tend to warn younger men on how to avoid those mistakes, the mistakes that the older men have made. In general, there's exceptions, right? But in general, men who are older will often say, well, kid, don't do what I did. Don't make this mistake. Don't do that. Don't smoke. Don't waste your youth. Don't drink too much. Don't date the wrong women. Like, learn from my mistakes, kid. And that seems to be a bit of a thing for men. Seems to be a bit of a thing. On the other hand, it seems to me a lot more on the female side is justify all of their mistakes. That they didn't make any mistakes, that their way was the way to go. Yes, you should get a PhD. Yes, you should just date around. Yes, you should do this. Yes, you should do that. But all of the mistakes tend to be copy-pasted down the generations for women, whereas all of the mistakes tend to be warned about by men, and it gives men a pretty significant advantage, right? So, yeah, the reason older women don't do that is because they need to compete with the younger women for men. Yeah, cut your hair, travel when you're young, don't settle down, right? So the older women want to keep the age-contemporary men for themselves, right? So the women in their 30s want to keep the guys in their 30s for themselves. But the problem is the guys in their 30s, the guys who are worth having, the guys who are reasonably successful, they don't want women in their 30s. For the most part, they don't want women in their 30s because the women in their 30s are kind of hard-eyed, suspicious. They've ridden the carousel. They've been exploited. Maybe they've been abused and they're just not open and happy and so on, whereas the younger women tend to be more positive and enthusiastic and optimistic and so on, right? And it's rough, man. So what they want, and so what they do is they say, but you know, the woman's brain, I mean, she's only in her early 20s. Her brain is not even developed fully, right? Well, it's not true. I mean, it's probably right around then that the woman's brain, women develops a final development of brain is a couple of years before men's for reasons that we don't have to talk about. So they say, a woman who's dating a man who's like 7 or 8 years older, she's in her early 20s, he's 30. Well, she's easily manipulated and he just controls her and bullies her because her brain is so unformed. And if you were to say, okay, what's more important, dating or voting? What do you think? What do you think? Is it dating that's more important or voting? Because you see, if older men just hold younger, unformed-brained, plastic-headed women in their thrall, well, clearly, a politician who's way older than 30 and much more powerful than your average 30-year-old, well, if women can't decide who they want to date because they're too easily controlled by older men and their brains are unformed, what does that mean about the argument for them voting? But of course, nobody wants any consistency in these arguments at all. And of course, women sign up at the age of 17 or 18 for $100,000 to $150,000, sometimes a student loan and debt. Often it's older men who are pushing that upon them, making them sign or encouraging them to sign. So clearly, we should not be giving student loans, according to this logic. We shouldn't be giving student loans. Well, because you see, the women, they're just unformed and they're too easily controlled and manipulated and pressured, no? How do people make these arguments with a straight face? This is why I'd be a bad con man. Like, I just would laugh, right? Oh my gosh. Oh, yes. And what about abortion, right? They're just too easily controlled. I mean, it's like the argument that, well, if you want a younger woman, you're halfway to puddohood, right? Being a puddo. And man, what do you even say? What do you even say? So any woman in her 30s who dates a man in his 40s has an octogenarian fetish. You can just make these things up. Just make things up. Just make things up. It's really, really sad. Yeah, no one says how young, attractive women are using their youth and beauty to take advantage of older men. You never hear that. Yeah. Yeah, older politicians offer them free stuff. Yeah, there was this woman talking on Twitter. I think I mentioned this the other day, just about how, you know, the Maltz, I already talked about it. Just, yeah, free stuff, man. You give free healthcare. You get free healthcare. Oh, it's so sad. And it's just so transparent. It's literally like some guy coming into the workforce saying, well, you don't want to hire guys with 10 years of experience, man. You want to pay me their salary because in their 10 years of experience, they've just become set in their ways of being right and accurate and correct. So you don't want to hire these older men. You got to pay me their wages because I'm totally objective about this. I want a job where I get significantly overpaid. So don't pay those older guys, man. They're set in their ways. They're too experienced and knowledgeable and efficient and accurate and factual. Yeah, what was it? Sheryl Sandberg was all like, yeah, you got to go and sleep around and you got to go and travel. And it's like, okay, we get it. You don't want boss babe competition. So you want women to waste their youth. I mean, I just view all this part as fifth generation warfare, right? So most forms of warfare are about targeting the bodies of adult males, but fifth generation warfare, maybe even sixth, is about targeting the wombs of females, right? So rather than having to kill soldiers, you simply prevent soldiers from being born by killing the reproductive instincts and drives of women. Because men in general do want to settle down. They just can't get women to settle down with as a whole. So, yeah, it's much more civilized than it used to be. I mean, it was pretty bad and horrible to machine gun men rather than prevent men from being born, men and women from being born, right? To bomb cities was awful, appalling, and horrifying. But this sort of soft war against the womb of the women rather than against the flesh and bone of the men, better. Better, because it's a war you surrender, right? It's a war you choose to surrender in, right? It's like the vax, right? It's a war you choose to surrender in. If you choose to give up your womb, if you choose to give up your reproduction, nobody's forced you. It is not illegal to have a kid. They just put a lot of psychological pressure on people to wash out the wishy-washy from the human pool. If you're really susceptible to propaganda, you don't reproduce. It's hard to mourn in many ways. It's hard to mourn in many ways. I mean, men got drafted. Women can just choose not to have children. And men, of course, men are choosing not to have children as well as a whole. But the vast majority of people, or a significant majority of people, who don't have kids regret it, but very few people who have kids regret it. Somebody says, I had an issue with my mother, and every time I told a woman, she took my mother's side. I wasn't getting the response I wanted, so I reversed the story, and women said, I was a cold man. When I told them I had reversed the story, they would change the subject or begrudgingly say, I was right. When the man says congratulations to his friend in With Nail and I, oh, that's a bitter movie, man. It's a bitter movie. Great quotation of Hamlet at the end, though. Just because the only decent tailoring you ever seen is above your fucking appendix. It's very funny. It's a very funny movie. All right. But yes, bitter and funny. So you found that when you place the woman as the protagonist, they took the woman's side. When you switched it, Describe the behavior of a woman, they said they sympathized. When you switched genders and you described the exact same behavior as a man, they criticized, right? Do you really expect to get any particular moral principles from people as a whole? I mean, not necessarily women, but do you expect at all to get moral principles as a whole from people in the world as it stands? Somebody says, there are some people that listen to your show that seem to be in the middle of the desert between Trash Planet and A Beautiful, Meaningful Life. I was there for a long time at one point as well. It's damn tough. What do you think stops people or causes them to struggle crossing the last mile of the desert to the paradise of virtue? Well, it's not the last mile. You leave Trash Town, right? You leave Trash Town. Tips, of course, are very much welcomed and appreciated. You can do them here on the app. Either Rumble or Locals. You can also go to freedomain.com/donate. So, it's because you're lost in the desert. And let's use the analogy, right? You're leaving Trash Town, you're trying to get to Virtue City. Right? You're leaving Virtue Village. You're leaving Trash Town, you're trying to get to Virtue City. So you leave Trash Town and... if you get lost in the desert, you die, and your footprints get blown over and over time, right? The sand dunes creep over and cover up your footprints. So you look back and your footprints are evaporating. You don't know what the hell's ahead of you. You don't know which way to go. And the temptation, which is completely understandable, is to run back to Trash Town, right? To run back to at least, okay, it's trashy, but it's familiar. I know how to navigate it. I know how to deal with it. And I can survive this. Oh, Dennis Hoff. Okay. He was on the HBO's about the Bunny Ranch in Nevada. Okay. Only a few of those words do I actually understand, but I choose to take you. Weed Up would be next weekend, aka Thanksgiving weekend. Ooh, that may not be the best time. It may not be the best time, right? Okay. I'll think of another time. That might not be ideal. Unless it's a breakfast or something. So... before the wind blows over your footprints, people panic and want to go back. I've certainly done it. You panic and you go back. You're like, okay, I'll try again. I'll try again. But I was about to get lost and die alone in the desert. No. Do you think East Asian women are getting the same propaganda as Western women have to lower birth rates? So I don't know, of course, how much propaganda East Asian women are getting. But they certainly are getting... hyper-competitive, and I read some months ago on the, I think it was last year maybe, but some months ago I read a whole tweet series from a woman in South Korea just about how brutal the parenting was, how hyper-competitive everything was, how just awful everything was in their life, and how they just couldn't have any room, any space, any kids, or anything like that. But the main reason, I mean, the studies are out there, and I stored one, I'm not sure if I'm going to find it or not, but... the main reason why kids aren't being born, right? Let's get into some of these facts, right? Men are far more likely to want children and have pronatal beliefs than women. Yet women have ultimate control over childbearing. A 2023 Pew study found 57% of childless young men, but only 45% of childless young women said they want children. Isn't that wild? Men are much more worried than women about low birth rates across all categories. The most important thing young men can do in support of pronatalism is to aim for marriage. A popular blogger just wrote about men who sabotage women's fertility by dragging things out instead of committing. It's actually very true, which is a great point. Married men are happier too, so marriage is great for most men's personal well-being. Some men fear marriage because it could end up in divorce. But surveys show that divorced men are similar in happiness to never married men. So the upside greatly exceeds the downside, right? So yes, although if you vet for intelligence, verbal skills, negotiation skills, decent levels of maturity, compatibility, and so on, if you vet for all of that, your chances of divorce are virtually zero. Virtually zero. I mean, if you know which chamber the bullet is in Russian roulette, you're not going to get shot. Next is education. Far more women than men go to college these days. This education mismatch contributes to lower rates of partnership. Men increase their marriage odds by getting a college degree. Relatedly, a Finnish study found that more educated men have more kids. Next is income. For men, higher income is increasingly associated with having more kids. Men hoping for families would do well to develop their career. Women who have five or more children are most often married to high-earning men. Helping with housework and children. In countries where men contributed more with chores and childcare, women tend to have more kids. I'm just getting to here. The biggest hurdle from the perspective of women, the dearth of quality men. More men with education, strong income, and a willingness to help at home will mean more women having children. Meanwhile, those who can see what is happening can have a big positive impact by building awareness of the birth dearth. For this crisis to turn around, more people will have to see what we see. Now, I know. I mean, I can hear all of the men, and I absolutely understand. They're saying, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Why is it up to us to fix it again? Again. We have to improve. We have to be better. We have to be superior. We have to woo and change and earn. And I get that. It's just, you know, but, you know, we don't have periods and we don't have to give birth to children. And we don't go through menopause. So there's still some benefits here and there. I believe divorced men's suicide rate is incredibly high. Well, maybe. What do you think are some good salary benchmark numbers for age groups 20, 30, 40, etc. for men? Well, for 20, you should certainly be earning minimum wage plus. For 30, you should be in the 60 to 80 range, and 40, you should be well over 100. I mean, all other things being equal, no health issues, you know, into reasonable intelligence, which everyone here certainly has, high intelligence. So, yeah, just aim high and just relentlessly improve the quality of the offering that you have. Listen to feedback and try to improve, right? I'm trying to be more focused in the show because I got some really good feedback earlier. Somebody says, I can say I was not mentally or morally ready for marriage. Knowing what I know now, I'd be a good husband, I feel, but choosing a woman who hasn't made terrible choices morally, lifestyle-wise, and not with a mentally unstable woman, right? What are your thoughts on prenups? Forgive me if you've talked about this before. I mean, if you have a substantial amount of assets, there's a significant age gap, and there's a certain transactional nature to the relationship, then I'm fine with prenups. Prenups obviously don't violate the non-aggression principle. Never got a prenup because, you know, head over heels in love, we both are. And it's worked out really, really, really well. But yeah, there's certainly some relationships, you know, let's say an older man, he's, you know, 55, he's dating a 40-year-old woman. It's kind of transactional. She wants to travel. He's got lots of money. So there's a certain transactional nature to that. I think it's fine if it's more business-like as opposed to just head over heels in love, which tends to be when people get older, it gets more professional and business-like. I think as part of a business merger, then that's fine. But it wouldn't be something that I would want to do, but I can certainly see the practical value of it over time. So with regards to the big question is, well, why aren't women having children? Well, women aren't having children because dating is more fun than breastfeeding. Dating and the sexiness and wanting women, men desire you, that's really turning on women a lot, right? The women get this perpetual state of, oh, bing, oh, I got another message. Oh, I got another, ooh, there's a hot guy, right? They want. So the process of being wanted is a big turn on for women. So they're in the state of perpetual arousal. I mean, I don't know, like if like totally sexy films and music were playing everywhere you looked as a man, it would be pretty tough to concentrate. So women are in a state of fairly perpetual arousal because of single women, for the amount of lust and thirst that gets posted their ways, right? I mean, I'm sure you've seen attractive women in various political movements and the thirst underneath and the guys, I hope she sees this man, and, you know, the thirst and the wit and the charm and the this and the that and the other. And so women are in the state of semi-perpetual arousal. And it's tough for them to settle down. It's really tough for them to settle down. And that's that frisson, that dating, that new body, that lust, that initial high of the early part of the relationship, it's really easy to get addicted to that. You know, nature's absolute dopamine high of the first 6 months of any relationship is really intense. Really intense. And very exciting and very sexy, first time undressing and all that kind of cool stuff. So that's really exciting. Settling down with a guy, running a household, paying taxes, getting to the dentist. And like, it's like everybody's into these long distance relationships because it's about yearning and lust and you meet together and you have, you know, rabbit sex all weekend, and then you go apart and you miss each other and you phone and you miss, and like, it's a drug, right? It's a drug. And we're not designed for that. We're designed to fall in love / lust, to pair bond, to get married, to have a lot of sex on the honeymoon. It's called the honeymoon because it starts off sweet and you end up kind of sad, right? Because now you just move on with your life, and the courting phase is over, and the cool dates phase is over, and now you're getting on with the serious business of the having and raising of children, and the paying of bills, and making sure everyone gets their dentist appointments executed, and you know, repairs on the house, and you know, all of this sort of practical stuff. And the sexy, lusty dating part of the relationship is really quite addictive. And what happens is that people, and maybe this is a bit more true of women, they jump from lust to lust to lust, burning out a little bit more each time, feeling a little bit more used each time, feeling a little more disappointed each time. They're training themselves to fall out of love by taking the drug of infatuation as if it is love. Love is grows out of infatuation, but infatuation is the soil and love is the tree. It's right. Whereas, so these women keep falling in lust / infatuation. They get this high, he's the greatest guy ever. And then there's this crash because they don't know how to negotiate because they had sex before they learned how to negotiate. So they are too bonded, too close to each other and don't know how to solve problems. So then women are progressively diminishing their capacity to pair bond every time they fall in lust. And then it crashes out. They trust themselves less and less the next time, and they become more cautious and guarded, and their hearts are scarred, and there's a big fiery moat between them and their vulnerability. And then they just end up, like, you know, all of the drugs that you chase end up, you end up chasing a high, and then you end up just avoiding a low. And so these women, they chase the high of early sexual frisson and infatuation. And then what happens, of course, is they end up being driven back out into the world to look for this, to avoid the crash of loneliness, right? So they're in hot pursuit of sexiness, and they get it. And then after a while, when they their own bad choices accumulate within them and their conscience glares at them like a fiery cat, then they end up having to go out and quote, pair up in order to avoid loneliness. In other words, they're no longer in pursuit of a positive. They're simply avoiding a negative. And I assume that that is the case for everyone. So dressing very modestly would massively benefit women. Yes, women are putting themselves out there to constantly, and not all, of course, lots of exceptions, but a lot of young women, I mean, you see these videos of women in England, like barely like stuffed into these dresses, spilling out all over the place. So women are constantly, so a man is turned on looking at a sexy woman, particularly the more skin that you can see, and a woman is turned on by the male gaze. So it's sort of a mutual excitement thing. And of course, the woman is saying, look at my tits because my heart is a void, right? They're so addicted to the male attention. Well, you could say it's addicted, but it's just an evolutionary pressure. Having spent significant time in Southeast Asia, women are rejecting breeding and focusing on career, and the entitlement is off the charts. Swipe left or surf male attention, especially traveling. The change in the last 10 years is really noticeable. You're so right. When I go to Southeast Asia, I'm an 8 and get hot girls, but I have to pay for everything. Imagine the addiction I'd have if the women paid. So you've gone around sleeping with a lot of Asian girls? Really? That's your... Just go and have sex with women and then throw them aside? You are helping set fire to the logs that are burning down the whole world. Wow, this is spot on. How can women want marriage / children more than the sexy, lusty part? Yeah. I mean, we men know that, you know, we're there to provide and we want to do that and all of that, but for women, the crash from being lusted after to being pregnant is something that men can't really conceive of. Like, we can't really conceive of what does it mean to go from being the object of countless men's lust to being bloated, having to pee all of the time, can't sleep, you know, wobbling around with this prow of the Titanic in front of you, thick with life, getting cellulite and weird butt dimples and, you know, all kinds of, like, we don't, as men, because we're just kind of tanks or bricks, so we just copy paste until, you know, we age out ghoul like right before we die. So we don't know what it's like for women to go from, you know, the object of immense lust to, I mean, the only men who find it sexy are like the husbands and, like, I don't know, creepy pregnancy fetishists, and God knows what's going on in that hellscape of attraction. But we, you know, you don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like. What is it like to go from having countless men lust after you to feeling about as sexy as a steam train, right? That's right now, if you're loved by your husband and you care about your kids and you want a legacy and so on, that's great. And they don't want that crash. When you get addicted to men finding you sexy, then you won't want kids because that's going to interfere with your addiction. Somebody says, looks fade, especially mid to late 40s. We know this. And if they haven't snagged a hubby who will always see them as they were and the love of their lives, that I am sorry for being the case. That doesn't absolve them of their choices, nor do I want to be the knight rescuing the damsel in distress, as Dr. Laura put it. The number one things guys do to mess up their lives, you just end up with a distressed damsel. Words I took to heart. Yeah, that's true. Steph, I believe you once said on a live stream that if we had freedom of association, that women would be able to shame and control other women's bad behavior. Can you expand on this? Right. I notice the male gaze frequently right now, and it's quite annoying. I wish I didn't care about what men thought of me. What do you mean you wish you didn't? You wish you didn't exist? You wish you didn't exist? Is that what you wish? Because your ancestors had to care about what men thought of them? Not caring about what men think is a totally new phenomenon. It's an absolutely, completely, and totally modern phenomenon. Women had to be obsessed about what men thought in the past because men provided protection and survival. So it is really important that you care about what men think of you as a woman. So a freedom of association. So freedom of association is, I don't want to fund a single mom, right? I don't want to fund a single mom. If a woman has a baby out of wedlock, a young woman, let's say she's 20, she has a baby out of, or she gets pregnant out of wedlock, and let's just step over the abortion debate just for now, but if a woman has a baby out of wedlock, I don't want to pay for her. See, men understand that sometimes people are there to act as an example to others, right? Why do we put horse thieves in prison? To punish them for their individual action, or with the goal of ensuring that fewer horses get stolen. So the guy going to prison is, oh, I'm so sad, I'm going to prison. But that's how you get people to not steal your horses. So some people have to be really, really sad in order for the rest of us to make better decisions, right? So the kids who didn't study for their tests, they failed and they got sent on the short bus back a grade, and they were the big hunching kid in the small kid's room, and they were embarrassed and it was shameful and they lost a year of their lives. So study for the test. Oh, but the person being held back is really sad. It's like, yes, I know. But if we stop anyone from being sad, civilization is destroyed, right? Because nobody can suffer any negative consequences for really destructive behavior, which means really destructive behavior increases. So individuals don't want to suffer negative consequences for bad decisions, of course. But they have to, otherwise society falls apart. It's like a casino. Nobody wants to lose all their money. But if nobody lost any money, the casino would go out of business and everybody would get addicted to gambling and do it in some other way. So people have to fail in order for civilization to succeed. Now, men understand this because we deal with adult issues. Women are more designed to deal with infants and toddlers can't fail and things have to be evened out. We've talked about that before. So women who get pregnant or have a baby out of wedlock are really unhappy and feel like it's a disaster, which is why they want control over that, and they're so hungry for the right to kill their babies. But if men are forced to pay for other men's children, which is the welfare state, right, which is basically the single mother state. So if I, as a man, am taxed to the fucking gills to pay for the children of irresponsible people, that is a violation of freedom of association. It is a form of wallet assault. It is a violation of freedom of association. So, the way that it used to work is that loose women were attacked and castigated by other women. A slut, a whore, a trollop, a slattern, prostitute. Like, loose women were heavily castigated by other women. Why? Because it threatened marriage, and marriage was necessary for the survival of women. Marriage is still necessary for the survival of women, but it's covered up by debt, fiat currency, and money printing and borrowing of debt, right? So if a woman was handing out sex, then men could have sex without getting married. So women would band together and attack the woman who was loose and make sure that she was no longer part of polite society. Her family would be ostracized. She would be ostracized. She wouldn't be allowed anywhere. And any man who associated with her, the women would band together and say, "We're not dating a man who's gone out with Dawn," or whatever her name would be, right? If you've gone out with her, right? Lips that touch wine will never touch mine, right? So if you've slept with or gone out with Dawn, you can't get a good woman, right? So they would band together and prevent loose women from having sex with a number of men, because then those men would be less likely to get married. And also Dawn could get pregnant, which meant that would mean that there's a huge amount of chaos, because they didn't have paternity tests, of course, back in the day. And so Dawn would then just choose the wealthiest guy and say, "It's yours." And then his family would be upset. So the men would be really heavily counseled to keep it in their pants. The women would be counseled to not give sex up before marriage, or if you did, make sure that you got married. Like, a third of marriages in the Wild West were a shotgun wedding, so to speak. And so women would shame and control other women for bad behavior, because other people's bad behavior has an impact on you and me, right? We don't act as individuals, right? Everything we do has a ripple effect. Even if all we're doing is withdrawing and living in the woods, it has a ripple effect on everything that we're not doing in society. So it's like, my body, my choice. It's like, nowhere in any society is it your body, your choice. Right? If you have a child with a criminal out of wedlock, that has a ripple effect on society, right? Because it means you're more likely to have other children give birth to other children out of wedlock. There could be some, criminal element to whatever the paternity lineage is. He's going to grow up without a dad, which means he's probably going to be dysfunctional. So there is no my body, my choice. Everything we do has an impact on everyone and everything else. It's all a butterfly effect. It's all a butterfly effect. And the other thing that would control bad behavior without the welfare state, and there would be charities, of course, and so on, right? But the other thing that would control behavior is, if you have a daughter and she gets pregnant out of wedlock and the guy absconds to, Patagonia or something, then you have to hide that, because if you don't hide that your kid got pregnant, then no one's going to marry her, and then you're going to have to lie. And a lot of times in the past, before the welfare state, the mother would pass the daughter's child off, her grandchild, as her own child. And this actually was quite common back in the day. Or the woman would go away for some extended vacation, and then she'd give up the child for adoption, come back, and they'd never speak of it again. So the massive economic and time liability of a child would have to be borne by someone. And it would accrue to the grandparents or something like that, right? So because the costs of raising children outside of wedlock have been rendered temporarily invisible through debt and money printing, nobody has any particular incentive to prevent this from occurring. So hopefully that makes some sense. All right. No tips tonight. The first time. It's fine. If you've tipped a lot recently and you just happen to be back, please keep your money. If you haven't tipped for a while and you're back, I think it's useful. I'm worried that when I enter a monogamous relationship, I'll still notice the male gaze. So? I mean, that I'm a married man. Does that mean I don't notice when women are attractive? Still notice the male gaze? What's wrong with that? I mean, you can't just like power down, turn off entire sections of your brain there for fundamental evolutionary reasons. Of course you're going to notice the male gaze. And the other thing, too, is that as a married woman, you need to notice the male gaze because your husband may be too polite to tell you if you've become less attractive for some reason that's under your control. There's a certain amount of aging that's just going to happen, right? But if you have become unattractive, your husband might be too nice, but if other men stop looking at you with any interest, that's your sign that maybe you need to step up your game and work to become more attractive, right? I don't want to care about what other men think when I enter a relationship. It feels like cheating. I hear what you're saying. I mean, I don't want to say it's hysterical or whatever, but it seems like a very strong reaction. You can't just power down entire sections of your brain designed for your survival just because you get married, right? All right, what do we got here? Someone's using Stephbot AI to process things right now. Oh, good. Yeah, if you want to do a call-in, obviously freedomain.com/call. Very, very happy. What other people think is not your responsibility if you are being modest or leading anyone to thinking you are interested. What other people think is not your responsibility. I'm not sure what you mean by that. What other people think is not your responsibility. I don't know about that. I'm not sure how that's entirely causal. I mean, if you're a woman, you have a great figure and you wear, I don't know, some top that barely covers your nipples and half a thong butt floss bikini bottom, and are you responsible for what the men around you are experiencing? I think a little. I'm not saying you directly, you own it, but, you know, I mean, if I scream at the top of my lungs in a subway car, am I responsible for people's increased heart rate? I think so. So I don't know what other people think is not your responsibility. No, I think, my whole gig is to get people to think rigorously and clearly. I'd like to take some responsibility for that. Otherwise, you know, like my whole gig is to change how people think to make it more clear and rigorous. So somebody says, the call-in AI is incredible. I ask it to ask me one question at a time, be incredibly rigorous and challenging, and help me break the fog. It's damn profound. I'm absolutely thrilled. Let me make a note of that. And I like that. That's good to know that I can be so easily replaced. Well, I'm going to need to be at some point, right? Boom, 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 boom. Thank you for the tip, JP. Let's see here. What is your IQ, please? I do not know. I think that as far as language and reason goes, it's hard to think where the ceiling is. I mean, certainly have limitations in other fields for sure. Music and math are not massively my strong points, but And what would it matter, right? Like, let's say Einstein's IQ was like 130 or something, right? But obviously he was a brilliant guy, so. I don't think that my particular form of intelligence could be measured in a general test. So, I don't know. And here's the thing. Let's say my IQ is super high, right? Let's say it's 180 or 170 or 160, whatever, right? Let's say my IQ is super high. I still would want people to completely ignore that and focus on the quality of my arguments, right? So, I'll tip. Thank you. There are attractive young wives and mothers in the church who are modest daughters of heavenly parents. I respect and honor the commitment to the family. What it does to me is make me realize that I want such a woman to be mine. Yes. We'll tip after the show. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. I have some big bills coming. We'll get back on my regular donation rotation soon. Thanks, Steph. I appreciate that. We'll send you over a tip on your website this weekend. Thank you. I appreciate that. Let's see here. Lots of attractive young 20-something girls, but my mental attitude is turned to being a father and seeing them through that lens. Yes, that's right. I've noticed a lot less male gazes once I go everywhere with my two toddlers, a stay-at-home mom. Yes, that's right. But you get more pleasant interactions with people delighted by your babies. So, Einstein had a high IQ and thought Vladimir Lenin was a great guy. Yeah, I think that's just in group preference, isn't it? Boom, 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 boom. Baby, take off your coat real slow. All right. If they are taking no action to draw attention, then they are not responsible morally for others' gaze, conditioned on modest dress and behavior. Well, they are responsible for the lack of gaze, right? Your AI tool is awesome. If you answer a question you have not discussed, it tells you so. Oh, nice. Marilyn Monroe had a higher IQ than Albert Einstein. If true, it is interesting. Well, I mean, she converted to Judaism, right? That's not an easy thing to do for the playwright. Arthur Miller, right? Arthur Miller, who wrote an entire play, The Crucible, about the Salem witch trials as an analogy for McCarthyism. Oh, so vile. What a cover-up of massive crimes. All right. I get the attention of hot girls. To get sex, I'd have to marry them, or at least commit to financing their families. I just taught English in Vietnam for 3 months because I met the one last year. I wanted to live with her for 3 months to see if we were compatible. She said, marry me and take me to Australia after 4 days. I said no, so she went back to her hometown and I stayed alone for the remainder. I was ready to settle, as I knew the moment I saw her. So did you? Did you marry her? All right. Obviously, the welfare state has contributed to the denigration of long-term relationships / marriage, but how much do you think contraceptives have contributed, if any at all? How much do you think contraceptives have contributed, if any at all? You have to remember, of course, that contraceptives are part of a statist society, so it's hard, you can't tease out what the effects of contraceptives are as a whole without including the fact that they're state-funded, state-protected, liability-protected, and that because the government wants to wreck the family, negative effects of the pill, for instance, are minimized. And so I don't think people are making fully informed consent. Like, Pearly Things just had a whole thing on Twitter where she was saying, like, women who are having trouble conceiving in their 30s who've been on birth control pills for 10 years, and she says, like, you voluntarily stopped your entire reproductive cycle for 10 years, and then you're shocked that it's taking you a little while to start up again, or you're having problems starting up again. And again, she's quite the Valkyrie when it comes to this kind of stuff. Thank you for these tips. So she's quite a Valkyrie for this kind of stuff, because the women, what do they all say? They all say, no, but I went on birth control for my acne. I went on birth control for, and it's like, no, you were horny and you wanted to raw dog your boyfriend. Come on, like, not every single woman in their late teens goes on birth control because of acne. Like, that can't be so she's just, now, I have more sympathy for the women here, right or wrong. Right or wrong. And I have more sympathy because the amount of misinformation is pretty wild. And until the internet came along, it was pretty hard to go against your doctor, right? Boom, 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 boom. Sorry for not tipping lately. I'm currently unemployed, so I have to hold back. Massive sympathies, man. Ah, it's a brutal economy. I had somebody email me the other day saying, man, I'm sorry, I got to cut my $3 a month, but I'm hurting. And I'm like, wow, like, I really sympathize with that. That's like 10 cents a day. And I genuinely sympathize. I am very, very sorry that you're unemployed. I know how difficult that can be. There's some fair number of white males who listen to me, and Lord knows it's pretty tough for white males to get jobs these days. So I hope that don't feel at all bad for not tipping. The last thing I'd want is for you to tip me rather than have money set aside to make sure your job hunt works. So enjoy, relish. You are absolutely welcome, perfectly welcome. Don't think about it at all, and enjoy the show. I appreciate that. Commies hate someone investigating commies. Jeez, who'd have thunk? Yeah, yeah. First live stream, long-time listener. Thank you, Joe. I have a great life, 5 kids, and run my own business. My success has been fueled in part by your wisdom. Thank you. Oh, beautiful. Congratulations. 5 kids. That must be super cool. I would very much liked to have had more kids. However, the universe said, I'm afraid we're going to sign you up for more philosophy. All right. Well, congratulations. Tulsi Gabbard and her hubby tried IVF to have kids. Sadly, it did not work. She is 43 now. She's the girl with the woman with the streak in her hair, right? She's got no kids at all? Really? Interesting. Regarding the argument given to women that have had sex with their ex, however, are withholding it till marriage for their next partner, is this a sound argument? What if they genuinely regret it and have learned? Well, what if they had genuinely regret it and have learned? Thank you for the tip. It's the argument that a woman, it's similar to the argument that a woman with a kid says she now wants a better husband than her baby daddy. Thank you. Appreciate that. C2. So a woman in general cannot get a higher value partner than the father of her children. You're limited by that. That's your ceiling. That's your top, right? In the same way that if you have, you know, two identical things on the table of your garage sale, like you've got two coffee makers, and you sell one coffee maker for $20 right next to someone who's going to buy the other coffee maker, you can't get more than $20 for it because you've already had your price. The price of the coffee maker is $20. You can't say to the next guy, it's now $200, because he's going to say, well, you just sold it to that guy for $20. The same thing. It's the same thing. Now, you can, if you want, make the case and you can say, well, I did sell the last coffee maker to that guy for $20. But then I realized just how valuable they are. So now for you, it's $200. Well, I used to give up sex pretty easily, but then I realized that I'm worth much more than that. So now you have to wait for 6 months and you have to spend $5,000 wooing me. Yeah, but the last guy got the coffee maker for $20. That's a fact. That's a fact. And women can say, but no, I've learned that I'm worth more than that. But why are you worth more than that? Right? Why are you worth more than that? Why are you worth more than that? So if you just sold a coffee maker for $20 and then the identical coffee maker you're trying to get $200 for, you have an uphill battle. Because the guy just, he saw that you sold the coffee maker for $20. So is he going to buy your coffee maker for $200 or $2,000 when you just sold it for $20? The exact same model. It's even worse than that though, because a woman, let's say a woman is 20 and she has sex with a guy on the second date or first date or whatever, right? And then when she's 30, she starts raising the price. Well, she is aged and used, right? This is an old Kevin Samuel question. What good in the market gains value from age and use? People always say, wine. It's like, no, not when it's used. You spit the wine back out, it's worth more. So the problem is that you sold a great coffee maker for $20 and now you want $2,000 for a broken down coffee maker. Ooh, you know, it's tough, man. Again, I really sympathize. Thank you, Paula. I really sympathize. And I understand the impulse. I get all of that. But, it's a pretty tough case to make. You gave away the last coffee maker. Now you want $10,000 for this coffee maker. Men are like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to wait until I'm just going to get another coffee maker, right? Here's the problem. You can't get monopoly prices if you're just like everyone else. If you're just like everyone else, you can't get monopoly prices. To get monopoly prices, you have to be unique, right? You have to be unique. You have to be deeply yourself. You have to think for yourself. You have to be original. You have to be courageous. You have to be challenging. You have to be not copy-paste, not just like everyone else. Like you see these videos of these girls in the sororities doing all these dances. It's like, you'll never find another girl like me. And they all kind of look the same and they all kind of act the same. And it's like, you can't get monopoly prices for copy-paste. The original Mona Lisa is without price. It's priceless, so valuable. A photo of the Mona Lisa, though, not so much. Not so much. So if a woman is saying now, thank you, Ella, if a woman is saying now, well, I'm worth so much more now. Before I gave it up to guys on the second date and they didn't even have to take me anywhere. But now you've got to wine and dine me for 6 months and spend $5,000. It's like, so when you had more value as a young woman, you charged nothing. And now you have much less value as an older woman. You're now upping your price? Oof. It's like trying to negotiate. Like your last job, you were very happy at $40,000 a year, right? And then you go for a job in a new field with no experience and you say, I want $400,000. But like, hang on. The last job, when you were more valuable, you made $40,000. Now this job, you don't have any experience, you want $400,000? That doesn't make any sense. So you're less valuable in your 30s than you were in your 20s. In terms of, you know, youth, fertility, beauty, agreeableness, optimism, and so on, right? Whew. Now, I understand. People say, well, the woman, she found religion and she has reformed herself, right? Okay. I get that. So then she should be unique and valuable enough that she can demand monopoly prices, so to speak, right? Or price doesn't mean money necessarily, but commitment, right? When I met my wife, she was like no other woman I'd ever known. Like, absolutely like no other woman I'd ever known. Or she wasn't even close. It was like a different species almost, right? So my wife is like no other woman I've ever known and remains that way. She's so positive. She's so buoyant. She's so funny. She is just an absolute joy and delight, very hardworking, completely devoted and committed to her family. And oh, it's just, I don't want to sing praises. I could be here all day. So she can charge monopoly prices in terms of commitment because there's nobody like her. It's like Brad Pitt, right? I mean, he's the only guy. He can open movies, right? So he can get monopoly prices because he's unique. Whereas some guy in the background who's just cheering like everyone else is copy-paste, is not unique. So a woman can up her demands, but she has to be of massive value and unique. And the woman having a revelation that she should charge more does not make her unique and able to charge monopoly prices. And you know whether you deserve monopoly prices based on how many people are chasing you. I mean, you know if you can charge more. If 10 companies are all vying to hire you, then you can play them off against each other and get the maximum value, right? Um, So if a woman says, you know, well, I found Jesus and I've realized the sin of my ways and so on, it's like, okay. So then she wants a high quality man. But why would a high quality man, let's say he's a top 5% earner, he's 35 or whatever, and no kids. Why would a high quality man want a woman in her 30s with a promiscuous past and a reform, as opposed to, like, she's become super Christian, and I don't mean this in any cynical way, like, let's just say it's real. She's become deeply devout. She's also in her 30s. Why would the guy who's 35 want a woman in her 30s with a promiscuous past and all of that damage, though she's reformed to become more religious? Why wouldn't he just choose an already religious woman in her 20s? Because he won't know. Women are really good at fooling men. He won't know if the reform is real or desperation. Is it a ploy? Did she find God when she hit the wall? Oh, men aren't as interested in me anymore. Miracle of miracles, I found God. Well, again, this is to go back to pearly things. There was some Nala, or I can't remember. Nali, I think it's from Unreal. But she was some OnlyFans girl who found Jesus, but still hadn't shut down her OnlyFans account. And people, oh, she found Jesus. Like, how does he know it's not a ploy or a play? Now, he knows with the 23-year-old Christian girl with no sordid past, that's not a ploy, that's not a play. But when the woman's had a lot of her fun dating in her 20s and then gets reformed in her 30s, how does the man know it's not a ploy? We suck at this. Because our brains go to our balls. We suck at this. And that's why we have to be empirical. We cannot judge most men, and I could be, maybe I'm retarded around this, maybe it's many things. We are not good at judging women's intentions, therefore we have to judge their history and actions. So the woman can say, well, yes, from 18 to 30, I was hugely promiscuous. But then I found Jesus, and I'm reformed, and I'm now a Bible nerd, right? All we can do is judge the empiricism because we're not very good at judging men's intentions. Or to put it another way, men who were really good at judging women's deep intentions probably didn't get laid and pass on their genes. You're too accurate. Oh my gosh. Oh boy. If a woman improves on her virtues and she shows it, acts it, it would be a coffee maker plus quality of life accessories. Well, she's fixed the coffee maker, she's added a frother. I don't know, we can take the analogy only so far, but does the same argument apply to divorced men if they got married at a bad time? Well, divorced men is not the same as promiscuous or single mother. Now, a divorced man might have a child, and he might not have been promiscuous. If he married some girl out of high school, his high school sweetheart, he may be divorced and have a body count of one, or five if you count the various personalities. So we're talking about promiscuous women, single mothers, and so on. Divorced men is not the same category. Steph, I'm envious of China. He says, the cities there look a lot more futuristic. It's estimated they have 25,000 tons of gold. I'm learning Mandarin. I don't think people realize that there's no way we're going to be able to compete with these folks. Well, as soon as they get the free market, can you imagine the entire of China like Hong Kong? Just wild. So I can charge monopoly prices even though I've had sex in the past. I don't know if you're a male or a female. Sorry if I've mentioned this, right? You can charge, if you're not a virgin as a woman, you can charge monopoly prices if you're so individuated that the man falls in love with you wildly and can't find anyone like you, then you can charge monopoly prices, for sure. If someone has been patiently waiting for years for the right lady to arrive and has tried everything to meet someone, church, dating agencies, friends, work, etc., but nothing has happened, in your opinion, what is morally worse if one wants sex 3 times a year? Tinder or hookers? Tinder is taking 7% from a woman's ability to bond, and prostitutes is disgusting, but they're already damaged goods. Yeah, don't give me these bullshit false dichotomies. If you had to choose between being stabbed in the lung or shot in the leg, I just reject these false dichotomies. If you run out of excuses, if you have tried for years to meet someone and you haven't met someone in the whole world, you've got a whole world of people to choose from. I mean, I can understand if you're in a small town, there's only three eligible women and you don't like any of them, but we've got the whole planet to choose from. If you can't find someone in the whole fucking planet to choose from, and that's on you. There's something wrong with the way that you're doing it. So no, I don't give you that out. Steph, any opinion on Elon posting on X that the Biden administration is stopping him from providing Starlink services to flood-ravaged communities in North Carolina? It's insane and evil. Well, the Appalachians lead Trump, and it's an election month, so it's, yeah, it's pretty brutal. All right, let's see here. Yeah, Chinese air pollution. I mean, I was there in the year 2000 for a month or so doing business. Chinese air pollution is absolutely brutal. Like, it stings your eyes. I mean, maybe it's better now, but he says you can't drink the tap water anywhere in China. Is that right? Wow. All right. Any other last questions or comments? Yeah, the whole question of outsourcing productivity to other countries, I think is just an absolute disaster. It's an absolute, complete and total disaster to outsource things. It's just a way of destroying the birth rates of the local population to outsource jobs to other countries. My writing has been elevated so much by the use of AI tools. I realized I'm the one who enters the prompt and proofread, edit the output, but it almost feels like I'm cheating. Well, it's not your writing if you're just editing. If you're proofreading and editing, you're not the writer. Writers have proofreaders and editors. They're not the writers. The proofreader and editor does not get a co-writing credit. You're not cheating, but you're not writing. You're cheating if people think it's your writing. Steph, thanks for the feedback, but the dating market is utterly broken. Utterly! Sure, it's everyone else in the world. It's not you. Absolutely. How could it possibly be you? I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world, 4 billion women, 2 billion single women. Out of the 2 billion women, or a couple hundred million, or 100 million, or 50 million, or 10 million, out of 10 million women, you can't find anyone anywhere with any morals whatsoever. I happen to know quite a lot of moral women, but you just can't find anyone anywhere. The dating market is utterly broken. It's always the other 10 million people or 50 million people. It's never you. That's obviously the way that you need to go through life. Just make sure that you externalize all the responsibility, take no ownership for anything that you're doing. You are beyond perfect. You are absolutely flawless. Everyone else is messed up and making mistakes. Excellent. I think you've really internalized the lesson of philosophy. All right. The dating market is excellent if you are excellent. As Stefan says, if you want to find a needle in a haystack, you better get a metal detector. Yeah. All right. Last donations, questions, issues, challenges, problems. Thank you for your support, my friends. Going once, going twice. Listen, don't do the grass is greener stuff with China. It's not as bad as you think it is, but it's not as great as you think it is. All right, let's see here. Love the hat. What does that saying mean exactly? You can't turn a whore into a housewife. There's very little chance a woman can change her ways and settle down. Yeah, because the pair bonding mechanism is broken, and so it's going to be very hard for her to commit to a family. And she also has a lot of shame. See, for women, offering sex is a cheat code, right? It's like steroids in sports, right? Offering sex is a cheat code for providing value, and like everything that seems to come for free, it comes with the price of your soul. So turning a hoe into a housewife is virtually impossible because she's too full of shame at how she has tried to have value by strip mining male hormones for fun and profit. So, deep question, do you eat your duck eggs? So years ago we had chickens and I used to eat those. And it was funny, I remember we used to feed them cheddar popcorn and then their eggs would taste like cheddar popcorn. So we used to eat duck eggs. I had a little bit of trouble with it because that's a lot of ass. You know, that's a lot of ass, man. When you're out there with the chickens and you see the eggs coming out of their ass, it's like, it's a, you know, at least when they're in these nice little packages, you know, like Taylor Swift, they're in these nice little packages from the store and it's easy to just, oh, eggs, lovely. But when, you know, you're collecting them from the ass and filth of the, it's a, so I haven't done the duck eggs though. I have not done the duck eggs. I've got a 1986 BMW and the price goes up in every year, the older it gets. And I use it all the time. Old boys are always offering me money for it. Price goes up. That is true. That is true. You use it all the time? Really? So even though it's aging out and I assume falling apart, given that it's 40 years old, almost. So you use it. Okay. You use it all the time. Okay. So let me just run through this. And I'm not disagreeing with anything you say. I just want to make sure. Average miles driven per year, USA. Let's see. Average miles driven per year. Ba-da-boom. What do we got here? What have we got here? Individual. I want to be individuals. All right. So let's say you live Arkansas, right? So average miles per driver is 17,224, right? So let's do that. What do we got? Times 40 years. So your car has almost 690,000 miles on it, right? Let's do that miles to kilometers, miles to km. So we got, let me just get 688,960. What do we got here? Oh, no, that's not it. Let's try that again. Copy and paste. Nope. Why won't you copy? Select all. Copy. All right, fine. You have to select all and it doesn't even show you. All right, paste. So so that's over 1.1 million kilometers. I'm going to have to call bullshit on that one, my friend. I could be wrong. I'm no car expert, but I can't imagine that a car with over 1.1 million kilometers on it is, people just want to pay more and more for it every year. Oh my gosh, that is very funny. Oh, now the pair bonding is broken, which is, I don't know what that means. I have been single and held back, and yes, I have reasons why I was not an attractive choice for years. Some I could fix, some not, but I can grow into the man who women want, or rather the right woman. The rest I leave up to God. Well, look, almost everybody is single by choice, right? Almost everybody is single by choice. It's like if you think of a relatively free market, then almost everybody is unemployed by choice, a relatively free market. Because there's always something that needs to be done. You just have to lower your expectations. I mean, I was a waiter and, you know, fairly skilled at some manual labor and so on. And then in the early 90s, there was a terrible recession and I had to weed gardens and I had to clean cars. And I took someone's grandmother around town because they were too busy to show her fun and all of that. And I just lowered my requirements for work until I got a job. So you can get a woman, you can get dates. You're going to have to lower your standards, whatever you're like. If you've got some very high physical requirement standards, she's got to be this and that and hot and whatever, right? If you've got some standards and you're single, then you lower your standards until you can get a date. That's how you find out where you are in the marketplace, right? You start at what you want. And then you go down until what you get. You start at what you want. You lower your standards until you get what you got. Yes, I would love to be paid $1 zillion a minute. Whatever, right? We all, and then you just, you lower until somebody actually pays you. right? So this idea, well, the dating market is irretrievably broken. It's like, nope, you can get dates. You can get dates, but you're going to have to lower your standards. And don't be like these women. It's like, you should never settle. It's like, well, of course you should settle. Everybody settles. God, everybody settles. Nobody gets everything they want. And especially if you've been like a porn addict or whatever, then your gauge of female attractiveness is completely fried. Completely fried. I say, dating market is broken, get treated. Then Steph says, pair bonding is broken. Well, you're just making shit up at that point. So you say the dating market is broken, and I push back on that. Well, pair bonding is broken. Listen. It's really important you listen. This is why you're single, because you don't listen. You're single because you don't listen. And people like to be listened to, and people don't want to hang around someone who doesn't listen. When I was talking about pair bonding, I was responding to the issue that you can't turn a hoe into a housewife. You can't turn a prostitute into a good housewife. So with pair bonding being broken, I was talking about prostitutes or highly promiscuous women. But a hoe generally I know colloquially it's just she from the streets, right? So, but I was talking about women with a highly promiscuous past or who are actual literal prostitutes. I'm not talking about your dating market. So this is why you're single, because you just hear what you want to hear. Forever playing to the gallery. All right. Steph, men often say they would be happy to settle down, but most Western women don't know how to do anything. They can't keep a house, cook, or run a family. Right. Right. So then you're going to have to lower your physical standards in order to get the women who can do those things. Or you lead a woman to learn how to do these things because you're so amazing that she can't imagine being with anyone else. I mean, there's no replacement for my wife for me. No replacement. And there's no replacement for me for my wife. My wife can't replace me. I can't replace her. That's why. What monogamy is there's no one else that you can get with, right? I have donated on the website and will again be on subbing here. The AI will be of great use. Oh, glad to hear. Yeah. Glad to hear. Thanks, Steph. You're the best. You're welcome. Thank you. I feel like the trad wife thing I see on social media is mostly disingenuous and are just women trying to cosplay as a traditional housewife for clicks and views instead of actually being a good and honest woman. Do you think there's any net positive to the trend, or is it just exacerbating existing issues? Well, so you're a man, so you tend to organize your thoughts according to reason, evidence, and principles. But a lot of women organize their thoughts along lines, and this is no insult, it's just, there's pluses and minuses, right? A lot of women organize their thoughts along conformity to their peer group, which is why now I look back and in hindsight, my famous Taylor Swift tweet about her being a fun mom. Taylor Swift will not be allowed to have children. Because if Taylor Swift has children, millions of girls, millions of young women are going to choose to have children, and they want to keep the birth rate down, particularly among certain demographics, right? So Taylor Swift is not going to be allowed to have children, so to speak, right? I mean, obviously they can't stop her, right? They're going to make her infertile with some space laser, but Taylor Swift is going to be, quote, not allowed to have children, and at least until she's very old, and I would guess not at all. Because the ripple effect of Taylor Swift having children would be millions of young women having children. You'd say, well, that doesn't make any sense. As a man, it's incomprehensible. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Men and women were delightfully incomprehensible to each other. But Taylor Swift, you can't have kids. Because she has to give women the eternally young girl boss vibe so that they keep the population down. So for men, we're like, well, let me try and organize things according to, you know, reason, facts, reality, economy, future, blah, blah, blah. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's a fine approach to life. But women, so with the trad wife thing, for men, they're like, I'm kind of skeptical, this, that, and the other. But for women, it's hugely important. Because for women, it's like, oh, if they get a sense that their peer group are all settling down and having kids, then it opens up that possibility for women. And again, this is no negative to women at all, but it just is kind of incomprehensible. It's just the way women's minds work, is that they tend to go with the flow because they need the cooperation. Like, men are in competition for women and resources, and women cooperate in the raising of children. So women's acceptance by peer group is very important, less so for men. We men, in order to win, we have to be perfectly comfortable with other people losing like hell. We get the girl, we get the head cheerleader, everyone else is, they're crying, go cry more, right? Cry more. That's what men say. It's a Cernovich thing, right? Cry more, right? Yeah, go cry, I don't care, right? Women can't do that because they need cooperation in the raising of children, which is cooperative and not competitive, right? So. I only ever have offers for single mothers. Otherwise, I wouldn't be single. Well, in your profile, do you say no single mothers? And do you contact women who aren't necessarily immediately attractive to you? Like, and it's not just a porn thing. Like we just see so many beautiful women every time you scroll. Social media, ads, movies, we just have endless exposure to beautiful women, and it messes with our heads. It messes with our heads. The genetic freaks, which are like 1 in 10,000 women with, you know, the great faces, the great figures, the great hair, the great lips, the great eyes, the great everything together, and the riz and the, right? It's 1 in 10,000 women, 1 in 100. You're not going to meet these women. You're not going to date these women. They're all in Dubai having unholy things done to them on a yacht. So you just reprogram yourself. Sorry, I missed that part of the conversation. No, the trad wife thing is important for men. I think it is. It is tough for men to understand. All right. Ed Dutton just posted a video about how women are becoming based. He can be very entertaining and insightful, of course, right? You have a massive compartmentalization, two contradictory beliefs at the same time. Oh, this is too, you don't believe in excuses, you're making excuses. Yeah, for sure. Well, and it's not so much that, it's like people who are failing are always left to blame circumstances, and thus they spread their failure because they don't want other people to succeed. So it's you saying the dating market is irretrievably broken and there are no good women out there, and it's also, you're just trying to sow your despair to other people. It's actually directly toxic to other people, and you really should be ashamed of yourself for doing that. So just because you're failing doesn't mean that you have to say it's entirely... It's circumstantial, it's the environment, it's society, it's like, it's not me, it's nothing I can do to change. You're spreading despair because you don't want to see other people succeed. I mean, good friend of mine, guy's 40, just got married last month. Yeah, no, August. Just got married August. Met the girl, got married in a couple of months. She was a listener, they're both listeners. It's fine. Keeping the birth rates down, another dating game breaker. You keep contradicting yourself. I don't know what that means. All right. Steph has been married happily for 2 decades, and I've been single for 2 decades, but Steph knows more about the dating game. Oh, that's so funny. Yes, I don't know anyone. Yes, when have I ever talked to any young people about the dating game? I don't know any young people. I live in an entire bubble and never talk to anyone. That's why I don't have any call-in shows. I've never interviewed any experts on dating and relationships. I've never read any books. My daughter doesn't have any friends. I don't have any friends who are young who I've talked to about anything. I don't know a thing. You're on to me. Oh, God. Oh, that is funny. I'm looking for any woman who knows about philosophy and Austrian economics. Nope. You won't find them. You'll teach them. You'll teach them. Let's see here. Hell yeah. Congrats to your buddy on his marriage. Thanks for building a community where good key people can link up stuff. Yeah, I was thrilled. Good stuff. Good stuff. A girl I am chatting with has a physical disability. So long as it's not a mental or spiritual disability, then that may be why I have a chance. Big investment, but she's the type of person I hope she is. Maybe a match made in heaven. Should one settle when it comes to virtue? Oh, what a vainglorious statement that is. Maybe I'm just cranky tonight. That's incredibly vainglorious, in my humble opinion. Are you so perfect that she's not going to have to settle when it comes to virtue? Well, from my lofty godlike position of perfect integrity, should I lower myself to mere mortal standards and pair with a person of besmirched virtue while I am spotty and unspotted and shiny in the chromium extreme? Come on, man. Are you so perfect that she's not going to have to settle at all? Are you a combination of Immanuel Kant, Ayn Rand, Brad Pitt, and God? Oh, she wouldn't have to settle at all. Only I would have to settle. Oh, my God. Oh, wow. That is something else. Oh, it could happen. My hubby introduced me to Steph and Bitcoin. Yeah, she's going to teach you stuff. You're going to teach her stuff. But, you know, if you don't lower your standards to find someone who can love you, nature will do it for you and you'll be alone. Right? Nature will do it and you'll be alone. So you can have all the high standards you want. Doesn't change your actual value in the marketplace. You just keep increasing your value or lowering your standards or both. So, are you a virgin? Yes, I don't know. Should I love? Yeah, you're not perfect. My happiness doesn't depend on having a girlfriend or not having a relationship. Then it's not a problem. Me and my wife had some huge flaws when we met. She settled and I settled, but we worked on it and got better. Of course you did. Of course you did. Well, you beat me on that one. Oh, this is the BMW. Steph, for a single guy, 35 years old and looking to settle down, what is an appropriate age range to date in a woman? Well, you can just trade your 86 BMW for a 19-year-old playboy bunny goddess virgin. Appropriate age range to date in a woman? Well, if you want to have kids, then you've got to date a woman no more than in her early 30s, right? If you want three kids, it's got to be 20s. If you're willing to settle for two with some risk, with a geriatric pregnancy or two, then early 30 or early 30s. But if you want three or more, you've got to scale down. Go back 2 years for every kid that you want, right? So a year to date, get married, a year living together, have kids, right? So if you want two kids, a woman who's 31, but is starting to have kids when she's 33 or 34, and that means the second kid's going to be 36, which is geriatric pregnancy, which is higher risk pregnancy. So two years, I mean, the average rule of thumb can be different for people, right? Obviously. But yeah, dating for a year, married for a year, before you have your first kid, which means you start in the first couple of months of marriage, and you just got to scale back 2 years between kids, and you just got to scale back, right? So if you want four kids, then you're looking 8 to 10 years younger, right? So you're looking 25 to 27. So, I mean, that's important. And you should aim for more kids if you can. I could learn laundry skills. Yeah, I guess you could. I wouldn't actually go to China. I'm scared of the government. I guess my point is that it's frustrating watching other countries accumulating gold while we sell out our future. I think a currency will fall and China's will rise. Things are going to change. Why would you be frustrated? I mean, these things are completely and utterly beyond your control. You don't have any control over it. Why would you get frustrated about something you have no control over? All right. Well, thanks everyone for a glorious evening of rants and chats. I hope that I've stayed a little bit more focused, and I really do appreciate that feedback. I will continue to work on that, and thank you so much for giving me ye old idea back. If you have found the show to be of value, welcome to the circus of value. I would really appreciate any support you could provide me at freedomain.com/donate. And we'll figure out what goodies we're going to give people this month for donors. So I really do appreciate your time, effort, and attention. Lots of love from up here. Have yourself a gloriously, wonderfully, deeply magical and fantastic rest of the Friday night. And talk to you soon. Bye.